Do you know who Jamie Gorelick is? You should. Point to any major calamity in the United States during the last 33 years, and this woman has a connection with it. A strange and eerie run of suspicious coincidence. She's been dubbed the Mistress of Disaster by journalists, but the name doesn't do her justice. Jamie Gorelick has played pivotal roles in U.S. disasters since 1979, and some people place primary blame for the worst disasters directly on her. Princess of Darkness would be a better title. Let's start in 1979, when she was relatively unknown. That's the year she temporarily left her Washington, D.C. law firm to work for the government for the first time. She became an assistant to the U.S. Secretary of Energy. Coincidentally, the U.S. immediately experienced a disastrous energy shortage that had us lined up around the block trying to get gasoline for our cars. Remember that? The energy shortage was caused by Jimmy Carter energy policies that included stopping Iranian oil, windfall profits taxes on oil companies, and, just for laughs, a silly attempt to install solar panels and a wood-burning stove at the White House. We don't know how much Gorelick had to do with this, but hang on. She was just getting started, and so am I. In 1993, she went to work for the government again, first as a lawyer for the Defense Department and then as the CEO of Janet Reno's Justice Department. She advised Reno during the Waco, Texas 50-day siege of the Branch Davidian cult that resulted in burning to death 75 people, including 20 children. That's disaster number two, if you're counting. By 1995, Gorelick had hit the big time. She was now officially number two at the Justice Department, not just unofficially number two. She took over for Webster Hubbell, who lost his job because of involvement in the Clinton's Whitewater scandal. 1995 is the year Jamie Gorelick wrote her famous Wall Memo, which forbade the sharing of information between intelligence agencies like the CIA and criminal investigators like the FBI. Former Attorney General John Ashcroft calls that memo the single greatest structural cause for the 911 terrorist attacks. Gorelick defends herself by claiming the wall already existed, but her own Justice Department, way back then in 1995, described her requirements as going, quote, beyond what is legally required, unquote. The upshot was that the FBI was not allowed to access the computer of Zacharias Moussaoui, the so-called 20th hijacker who attended the same flight school where 911 terrorists learned how to pilot planes into the World Trade Center. Here's the thing. The CIA knew all about Zacharias Moussaoui, but they weren't allowed to tell the FBI. If you're counting, that's disaster number three for Jamie Gorelick, and noticed that she's graduated to being the primary culprit. By the way, Gorelick's Wall Memo was written in response to the Oklahoma City bombing. In case you haven't heard, which is very possible given the mainstream media's refusal to cover it, the Oklahoma City bombing is no longer believed to be the responsibility of Timothy McVeigh working alone. We know now that Iraqi agents were in charge, a fact which the Clinton administration was desperate to cover up because they thought it might hurt them in the 1996 presidential election. Hence the Gorelick Wall Memo to keep the CIA from sharing what they knew about the Iraqis. Are you still counting? That's disaster number four. And covering up the fact that foreign Muslims acting from a sleeper cell bombed a federal building in Oklahoma City probably, almost certainly, contributed to the 911 terrorist attack by keeping Americans asleep and unworried about the fact that we were under attack. 1 year later, in 1996, TWA Flight 800 was blown out of the sky over New York. 270 eyewitnesses described how the plane was hit by a missile. But the Clinton administration knew for sure this time that a terrorist attack on U.S. soil less than 4 months before the election would ruin Bill's chances. So Jamie Gorelick went to work. She took the investigation away from the National Transportation Safety Board and gave it to the FBI. Why is that important? Because the National Transportation Safety Board is an independent agency, whereas the FBI reported to her. She was their boss. The FBI quickly floated the story that the plane crashed because a fuel tank exploded, not because of a missile. That's disaster number five. She still wasn't done. Keep listening. As a reward for covering up the facts about TWA Flight 800, the Clintons appointed her to be vice chairman of the Federal National Mortgage Association, Fannie Mae, in 1997. In 1998, wouldn't you know, accounting fraud at Fannie Mae resulted in a $779,625 bonus for Jamie Gorelick. How convenient. In 2002, she gave an interview bragging about how well Fannie Mae was managed. The next year, auditors found $9 billion worth of hidden losses. As we all know, the raping and pillaging of the U.S. mortgage market by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were the primary cause of the 2008 financial crisis, from which we still suffer. That's disaster number six. How did Jamie Gorelick fare herself? Altogether, in 6 years at Fannie Mae, she was paid more than $26 million. To hell with what happened to the rest of us, I guess. She got rich, and that's all that matters. As you would expect from a motivated princess of darkness, she's keeping herself busy. In 2006, she got involved with the Duke University lacrosse team rape case, on the side of Duke, of course, against the falsely accused students. Then in 2010, she got involved with the Deepwater Horizon oil spill down in the Gulf of Mexico, on the side of BP, the company that spilled all the oil. You can't blame BP for hiring her. Who has more expertise on covering up disasters than Jamie Gorelick? By the way, that's disaster number seven. At some point, it stops being coincidence and becomes evidence, doesn't it? That's today's dose of common sense.